those of you who were not there, very unfortunate. But apart from that, my name is Sridhar Swami, and what else can I say? I'm pool number one. Let's see, what else? I'm from Canada originally, and the greatest country in the world, of course. Shows that I'm a mudha. I've been living in India for many, many years, and I'm at the present moment, for as short a time apart as possible, I'm the president of our Bombay temple, as well as I'm the GBC for the Bombay temple. So I'm really the supreme controller there. There's nobody to get in my way. Actually, we have three temples in Bombay, three big temples. We have thousands and thousands of congregational members, most of them chanting 16 rounds, most of them family men, family ladies. And we just celebrated Holy Name Day as part of the centennial celebrations, and our congregation, of course, did most of the work. We set up 108 book tables all over the city of Bombay, manned by about five or six devotees each. And each table had a sound system with amplifier and speakers and tape recorder. And they were playing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra sung by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada throughout the whole day, amplified, as well as they had all of Prabhupada's books, which they were selling, plus they distributed 100,000 little cards about this big, folded, that had a complete calendar of 1997 and 1996, as well as a description of the life of Prabhupada and the address of all our temples in Bombay. So they distributed over 100,000 of those. Plus, they distributed 20,000 japa malas. Everybody had to pay for them, and they also had to, that means 1 or 2 rupees, not much, token. Plus, they had to sign a contract that they would chant one round a day, minimum. And also, they were distributing prasadam throughout the day. They went from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock in the evening. And the significant feature is that nobody wanted to quit at 8 p.m. because it was so blissful. And we have many other centennial projects that we're doing, but whatever you do, big or small, in the service of Srila Prabhupada, especially in this year, at any time, but especially in this year, will bring you immense transcendental pleasure. You will feel it socially, in the association of devotees. You will feel communal ecstasy, and you will also feel it individually in your heart, even if no one is there watching you or working with you. But the nature of devotional service is that it is self-satisfying. Not only does it satisfy the self, but it is fully independent of any conditions. This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, as it is. And naturally the verse has been, well, it has been written on the board, it's not mentioned there. Oh yeah. Chapter 2, this is BG, it looks like 3G, but it's BG. Looks like 36, I couldn't, 36, 2, 5, what is that? Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized, text number 50. Now, if you can see it, of course, you'd have to have telescopic vision over there. Have to go this way and then that way. But if you can see it, you can repeat after me. Buddhi yukta jahatiha. Buddhi yukta jahatiha. Ubhe sukrita duskrite. Ubhe sukrita duskrite. Tasmat yugaya yujasva. Tasmat yugaya yujasva. Yogaha karmasu kaushalam. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Have you heard this before? Atiti Devo Bhava. Atiti means a very auspicious time. Just like in the Vaishnav calendar, sometimes you'll say, you'll see a time and it'll say Titi. And I'll just give some time during the day. It's a, if you want to do some marriage ceremony, or you want to open some building or whatever it is, you look for the titi, the special auspicious time during the day. And atiti means at no particular time, no particular auspicious time. And another meaning for atiti is a guest in your house. So atiti devo. Deva means, of course, God or demigod. So Vedic culture is atiti devo bhava. When a guest comes to your house, even without an invitation, at any particular time, if he just shows up, he should be treated almost like a demigod or like God. In other words, all hospitality should be offered. A sitting place, some water, some sweet words, some food, whatever you can offer. So this kind of culture makes it very nice society. If we don't know about these things in our Western uncivilization. What do they say in Western civilization? Good fences make good neighbors. We want to keep a big fence between us and our neighbors, because if we get too familiar with them, we'll end up, you know, fighting with them. So this is not the civilization of Vaishnavas or of devotees of the Lord. They want to give all service to any guest. So the word meanings are buddhi yuktaha, one who is engaged in devotional service. Jahati, can get rid of. Iha, in this life. Ube, both. Sukrita duskrite, good and bad results. Tasmat, therefore. Yogaya, for the sake of devotional service. Yujasva, you in Croatia, do you have trouble saying this word, Yujasva? The J, you have a problem with the J? Because I know you pronounce the J as Y, right? Sometimes I see that. Different cultures, like in Spain also. In China, they have trouble saying Kriya. They say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. It's just the nature of different languages. Be so engaged. Yogaha. Krishna consciousness. Karmasu. In all activities. Kaushalam. Art. Translation, a man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions, even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. Responsively, please repeat. A man engaged in devotional service. Rids himself of both good and bad actions, even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since time immemorial, each living entity has accumulated the various reactions of his good and bad work. As such, he is continuously ignorant of his real constitutional position. One's ignorance can be removed by the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which teaches one to surrender unto the Lord in all respects and become liberated from the chained victimization of action and reaction, birth after birth. Arjuna is therefore advised to act in Krishna consciousness, the purifying process of resultant action. Buddhi yukto jahati ha ube sukrita duskrite tasmad yogaya yujaspa yoga karma sukho shalom. A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. This chapter of the Bhagavad Gita gives a short summary of the other 16 chapters that follow. What has happened is that the great warrior king Arjuna has become bewildered. Everyone has to work in the material world. It can't be avoided. Krishna also says that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Nahi kaschit shanamapi. Shana means even for a moment. So, nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishtati akarmakrit. Karyate hi avasa karma sarva prakriti jaya gunai. Every living being is forced to work. He cannot remain idle even for a moment. You may say, I don't accept that. I'm not going to work. I'll show you. But there is something called the modes of material nature. They are like three currents in a river. And we are in the river, in the ocean of the material world. We are a passenger on the chariot of this body, and we are being taken from one place to another. We are not the doers. We are simply the observers. We are looking out from the eyes by our consciousness, and we are observing everything that is going on, but we cannot control anything, although we think we can. So these modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, they are like currents that move the body in a particular direction. And everything in the material world is connected. For example, although we cannot see it, every molecule of air is crashing against other molecules of air and setting up a chain reaction. Every time I move my hand, I'm displacing. I'm pushing out of the way so many molecules of air. All space is filled up with matter. Just like you may have a kaleidoscope when you were a child, or at some time, have you ever seen a kaleidoscope and you shift it this way and everything shifts around and you get a different color, and you shift it that way and one little turn on the right side makes everything move. So we are also in a giant kind of kaleidoscope, and everything is moving according to the modes of material nature and the laws of karma. So Arjuna was bewildered. He reached a particular point in his life when he had to do something which was going to have a very deep effect on him. It's what we call as a jugular issue. This is an English expression, but there's a vein here in the neck called the jugular vein. You can cut any other vein in your body and, you know, probably survive. But if you cut your jugular vein, it doesn't take but more than a minute or two for you to die. Because 30 pounds per square inch of pressure in the blood flowing through the jugular vein, you cut it, goodbye, Charlie. So something that's a jugular issue, something very important, and Arjuna had to kill his relatives. He had to kill his teachers, his gurus. He had to take a knife and chop off the head of people whom he loved. So it was a bewildering situation. And it wasn't that he had any choice in the matter. He had his brothers, see, I'm teaching the slang English, you know, people from the front. He was prepared to go to the forest, live as a mendicant. Here's, you know, a guy with, you know, I don't know, 60-inch biceps and, you know. Here's a man who's the best archer in the whole universe. I mean, he's piled up with weapons from Lord Shiva and Indra, and, you know. He could blow the whole universe to smithereens by chanting a few mantras. I mean, he was a super warrior. But he's ready to go to the forest and, you know, live on berries and beg the bowl. You know, can you see someone like a giant, you know, Mr. Universe? Could you give it time, you know? You give him everything. He's so afraid. But just imagine, Arjuna is ready to go to the forest and beg. So it was a serious thing for him. A very deep thing in his life. So he cried to Krishna. I mean, this big man, he cried. Karpanya dosho bhavatas svabhavaha vichchami tvandharma sumuddha cheta yashtrayasya nischitam bhuritanne sishyasteham shabhimam vam prapanam. My mind is bewildered. I'm in an ocean of confusion. I don't know what is to do. Therefore, Krishna, I'm taking shelter of you. I want you to act as my guru. Formerly we were friends. I took you casually. I didn't respect you. But now I recognize that you are the Supreme Person. You are my guru. Please enlighten me, help me in my darkness. So, Krishna instructs him, first of all, that you are lamenting for something that is not worthy of grief. Sochan, you are lamenting. Asochan anvasochastvam prakya vadangshavasha said. You're speaking like a learned man, prakya vadang, talking like a philosopher in the first chapter. Krishna heard Arjuna say so many things. And in the beginning of the second chapter, he also says some things, and he's talking like a philosopher. But Krishna immediately points out the defect in everything that he says. The one defect which discredits everything else that he said is that asochan anvasochastvam pragyavadam shivashase gatasun agatasun jananu sochan pandita. A pundit, a learned man, he never laments for either the living or the dead, because he knows that the soul is never killed. Najayate mriyate vatadachi nayam bhavitabha nabhujaha ajo nityashaspato yam purano na hanyate hanyamani. For the soul, there's never birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, undying, primeval, eternally unchanging. The body is constantly changing. At every second, cells are dying. You can't see it. Same, looks the same to me. But it's just like you see a cinema. You can't see it, but there are, you know, hundreds of frames per minute flashing like that. You can't see it, you just see, you know, I don't know who you see. Mike Douglas. There he is. And you think you're seeing Mike Douglas, but you're seeing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of frames flashing before you. That's what's happening. Every second, the soul of the body is dying. If we actually saw it, we'd probably freak out. Can you imagine if you saw all the cells dying? We would definitely be worried. So Krishna instructs Arjuna that you're asking me what is to be done, what is not to be done, and how you should act, but the first thing you should know is that you are a spiritual being. You're a soul. You're not the body. There's no need to lament or anything in this material world, because everything is already dead. For example, people cry when someone close to them dies. How many of you have been to a funeral? Okay. How many of you cried at the funeral? How many felt your heart strings pulled a little bit? Okay, you didn't cry, but you felt something. I think everybody, right? But the person that was put in the casket, put in the ground to be eaten by worms and become stool, that body was never alive. And it's still there. Anything you want to do with it, anything that you did with it before, you can still do with it. There was a man named Anthony Perkins. Ever heard of him? Psycho. Right? That movie, Psycho? What did he do? Huh? What did Anthony Perkins do? He kept his dead mother in a rocking chair for years together. Or at least months together. I don't know how long it was. He talked to her, he fed her. She'd already passed on to some other body, but he kept her gross physical body. You can do that. You can embrace the body, you can kiss it, you can, you know, do anything you like. That's all you ever saw in life. It's all you ever touched. You didn't go any farther. You didn't reach in and touch the soul or something. A special kind of embrace where you shove your hand in and say, "I got you." We never saw the person. This is serious. We never saw the person. But we're so attached to the body. So Krishna tries to get Arjuna out of this foolish kind of thinking, because it goes deep. That's why we're here lifetime after lifetime. That's why we suffer old age, disease, death, and rebirth again and again. Because we're attached to this bag of blood. Here we go. Skin, hair, pus, mucus, stool, urine, foul air. Should I go farther? What is it about this body that we're so attached to? Huh? We want to enjoy the body. Isn't it ludicrous? If I give you a bag of skin, you know, it's a nice bag of skin, and I get some pus and put it in,
and I got some old hair and, you know, a big shovel of stool, and I urinate all over it. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to enjoy it? What are you going to do, squeeze it? It's ludicrous. It's funny when you think about it, but the problem is most of the time we don't think. Period. We don't think. Period. That's the problem with society. They're acting just like animals, motivated by lust, anger, and greed, pushed sarva prakriti jargunai, forced to act because of impulses born of the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And along the way, they never stop to think that there might be something else. They endure, they tolerate miseries caused by nature, adibhaivik klesha, miseries caused by other living beings, adibhautik klesha, and miseries caused by the infirmity of our own bodies, weak kidney, weak liver, weak varicose veins, baldingness, even without becoming a Hare Krishna. And people tolerate it. If they get a little bit of sense gratification, they'll tolerate it. Few moments pleasure, a little skin rubbing, and they'll tolerate so many miseries. And not only once, but they go through it again and again and again. Puna punas charvita charvananam, chewing the chewed. Again and again. And they have no way out because it's a vicious circle. Find me the last point on a circle. There's no last point. And therefore, the wheel of birth and death is described as a wheel, a circle, a chakra. There's no end to it. Unless you give up this false conception of the self, of being the body, unless you stop thinking of yourself as Canadian or Croatian or Serbian or man or woman or whatever, the upadi, sarvo padi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. We have to make all these upadis, false designations, we have to give them up and understand our constitutional position as servant of God. Nathevadu swadagatim hi Vishnu. People don't know that their self-interest in life is to serve the Lord. It's not just for social prestige, to show that you're a good, pious Samaritan doing your Christian duty and you get so many plaudits at some social function, they praise you and you ultimately get elected as the president of the country. It's not like that. It has to do with the deepest kind of happiness and satisfaction in life. You need to be connected with the Supreme Soul, your soul, and you need to be linked in love with the Supreme Soul. That's all. You need to go back home. You don't belong here. You're like a fish out of water. You can do anything to a fish out of water. Give him a TV set with all fish programs on it. You can give him the latest high-tech fish food. Put a really cute little female fish beside him. Nothing will happen. You have to put him back in the water. Then give him a nice television. Then he'll be happy.
You know the story of the little Jack Horner who sat in the corner eating some kind of plum pie or something, took in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "What a good boy am I." You never heard that story in school? Okay. Anyway. People, if they do some good activity and they, "Oh, what a good boy am I," you know. They feel good about it. Fine, they do some pious work, and they read the reason they did it because they just wanted that kind of, you know, adrenaline rush, or that kind of, "Shh, I'm just such a good person," you know, they wanted that feeling. It's nothing to do with self-realization or serving God, for that matter. So what happens is, the joke is that little old lady now becomes a rinni. She becomes a debtor. Someone has done some service for her, and she has to repay that service. It's not like you receive service from someone and it's, you know, everything's just cool. You become a debtor, you have to repay it. So that little old lady, when she dies next week, I mean, you didn't have to help her across the street. She was going to die anyway. Help a young lady, but you know. So that little old lady, when she dies, she has to take birth again to repay you. Guess what? You have to take birth again to take repayment. So your so-called good action, you think you're doing a really good thing, but it just perpetuates your life in the material world. Good and bad actions, both pap and punya. Supposing you do a lot of good activity and you get the result of going to some heavenly planet. Now, here's a danger, folks. Take heed. This is a danger. Write this down in your notebooks, okay? You're all chanting Hare Krishna. You're all devotees, great souls, mahatmas, right? And you're young, idealistic, you know, you've been doing this for a year or two, and you know, you're feeling really good about it. You know, you've seen some older devotees, you know, they've kind of lost their enthusiasm, and they started to build their house, and they just got their second car, and you know, you can see they're kind of getting away from it a little bit. But you're going strong, you know, it's great, you know. But you got to be careful, because if you lose sight of the goal to get free from the attachment to the body, then what'll happen is that you're performing pious activities and you get a result from that. You may go to the heavenly planets. You won't complete your Krishna consciousness, but you go to the heavenly planets and you live there for 50,000, 100,000 years. And then you come back down again to the material world. 10,000 years will have passed, and there'll be no more Hare Krishna movement. And while you're up there fulfilling your material desires, you miss the chance again to get Prabhupada's association, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So don't take that chance. Be very, very careful about practicing devotional service with the idea that in this very life, iha yasya harer dasye kamana manasa gira,
kilas papi avastasu jivan muktasu uchite. I know it seems like a difficult job, but in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami has assured us. First of all, he says that a devotee has to hope against hope. Most of us, with a little introspection, when we look into our hearts, we can understand that there's a lot of garbage in there. There's a lot of material desires built up. And, you know, sometimes we think that this whole idea of becoming a pure devotee is too difficult. It's the only solution, but it's too difficult. And we get a little depressed. And sometimes people even use it as an excuse to go away from the path. But Rupa Goswami has assured us, and all the Puranas and all the great Acharyas have assured us, that chanting the holy names of the Lord, Patakam Pataki Naraha, can eradicate more sin than it's possible to commit. And Rupa Goswami says, Karmana Manasa Gira, if by your work, in other words, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, if you engage your senses in the service of Krishna, that's easy. You just have to mechanically somehow or other do service at the temple. You have to work. You have to work anyway. So work for Krishna. Apportion your time in your day so that some part of the day you get to do something for Krishna, either at the temple or in your home or at the office or somehow or other. Plan your life. Make a plan. So karmana, engage your senses in Krishna's service. Manasa, Krishna says, manmanohi, manmanahi, what is that, manmano? Bhava, madbhakta. Become, always think of me, manmana bhava. Always think of me. So somehow or other, develop the jargon, the language, right? The Krishna speak. Just like, you know, you become, you know, young people today become a punk rocker, right? Or a punk. And they've got their whole different language, you know, like, chill out, man. It wasn't there in my day. We were like, cool. But chill out, I never, you know, that's a new one. I think it's a pretty cool word, actually, but... And they have their whole language. If you want to be a punk, you know, you got to have a Mohican haircut or, you know, or like spikes, I don't know, it's whatever. Maybe orange hair. But that's cool, you know, I got nothing, I like orange color, you know. but if you want to be, you know, whatever it is, if you want to be a cyberpunk, that's another kind of punk. You know, a lot of punks today. We had the word punk meant something in my day, meant something else, you know. What a punk that guy is. You know? But if you want to be a cyberpunk, means a computer wonk, you've got to know that language. You talk in bits and bytes, you know. Talk normal language, you talk in bits and bytes. So you want to think of Krishna, learn Krishna speak. You know, learn the language of devotees. Memorize some Sanskrit verses. It's good for you. It's real healthy practice. Try to memorize a verse a week. In many temples, they do that. They have the verse of the week, and every morning before class, the devotees chant that verse, both the Sanskrit and the English, and then at the end of the week, they have everybody stand up individually and say the verse. You see? So it's nice. Because whenever something happens to you, you remember the language and you think of Krishna. Surround yourselves with pictures of Krishna. Wherever your senses go, put Krishna there. Listen to Krishna bhajan in your house. You know, there's all variety and flavors of Krishna bhajan. There's, you know, the nice Mayapur bhajan. And there's, you know, punk noise bhajan. I've been to their concerts, man. I've been to their concerts. They're cool. Can't tell what the hell they're saying, but all their fans seem to know. They know the songs by heart. It's wild. I mean, it's far out. They, you know, you, Krishna bhajan, keep your mind filled with sounds of Krishna. See Krishna, taste Krishna, touch Krishna, smell Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey! Yeah. Krishna. Everywhere Krishna. And you remember him. Karmana manasa gira. Your words. Again, same thing. Body, mind, and words. Absorbed in Krishna. If you do that, then even in this lifetime, you'll be liberated. Jivan mukta sa uchate. So, the laws of action and reaction are very difficult to understand. Krishna says, a man engaged in devotional service rinses himself of both good and bad actions, even in this lifetime. So Krishna says, Karmano hi api bodhavya bodhavyam cha vikarmanat. Very difficult to understand what is action and what is inaction. Devotees are just, you know, social parasites, right? All they do is sit around and nix nix ram ram, you know? Chanting Hare Krishna or something close to it. It's called jibber japa. Satsarup Maharaj has described all the different. There's prajapa. You know what prajapa is? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hey, did you hear about the that's prajapa japa. He listed all the different kinds of japa. We have to perfect our japa. Japa is so important. Japa is where you can take the holy name into your own arms and enjoy and praise and just have a whole love affair with the holy name. Japa. It's yours. Krishna's come into your life. Doesn't matter what's going on anywhere in the world. You can sit on top of a mountain and chant the holy names. Or you can sit in a basement cellar and chant japa. Or you can be in a jail cell like I've been many times and chant japa. In the early days, people did not know what to make of us in our Sankirtan. I mean, it may be bad today, but in those days, we were far out. And, you know, the police didn't know how to deal with us, especially in places like the UK and Australia where there's no... In America, they've got this thing called the Constitution and religious freedom. So, you know, they're like super liberal. You can do anything and call it a religion and get away with murder. But... So we benefited from that because, you know, although I've spent many days in jail in America also, but in England it was tougher because we had no rights. And in Australia they used to throw the devotees in jail at least twice a week until finally, you know, it went up to the high court. But still, it's dangerous there. They still have their laws, but... you can chant japa anywhere. I remember once... Oh, this is cool. You'll like this one. We, in Bombay, as I said, we get a lot of visitors every day, and you have to have very good crowd control. It's not a joke. 5,000 people, 10,000 people a day. On Sunday, 25, 35,000 people. That's a lot of bodies, you know. 25,000 spirit souls is no problem. You know, I could hold them in the fist of my hand. But it's the bodies that are the problem. So, we have to have very good crowd control. Down sometimes. So we would get lots of shoot these. I don't think they read that book, but even still in India, we get lots of shoot thieves come to our temple because they just intuitively know it. They see all the Mercedes Benz parked outside. And I'll tell you a secret, though, what you do. Here's a secret. Any of you ever go to India? Okay? You ever lose a pair of shoes? Huh? Yeah? Okay, what you do is you put one shoe over here and one shoe over here. Nobody ever steals one shoe, right? So anyway, they caught a shoe thief, okay? They caught a shoe thief Sunday night. And he had a bunch of friends with him, but, you know, they couldn't catch them, but they were hovering around. We have security guards. We call them rent-a-cop. So we had security guards. And so they got the bright idea of making an example of this guy. Well, but taught us, hang a monkey. Not monkey on a stick. It's hang a monkey. It's a different thing. And so what they did was they took a chair and they put that man up on a chair and they put a garland of shoes around him for all the crowd to see. So his friends didn't like that too much. And then there was some other problem at Hare Krishna Land at the back, some illegal tenants. They had some particular problem. I think we had cut the electricity off of their apartments because they were illegal and we were trying to get them. Anyway, somehow or other a riot happened. It was about 9:30. And it started off by some people complaining to the security guards bad words, and then they started saying nasty things, your mother this, your mother that. And then there was pushing, and then fighting, and then it became a big riot. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, this big, long, steel pipe comes, crack, right on one of the rioters' heads. And he immediately offered obeisances to the deities and left his body. what happened was that everybody ran helter-skelter here and there. And the people, some of the illegal tenants, as well as a local municipal corporator, local politician who didn't like us, they went to the local police station, and the local police, I found this once in Yugoslavia also when I was driving from Germany to India. I drove through Yugoslavia, and the police stopped our car, and then they drove off with our passports, and I couldn't figure out what was happening. And then they drove back and, you know, said something else and held our passports out. And then they drove off again, and you know, what's going on here? We were stuck there on the side of the road. Then I figured it out. They drove back again. I immediately pulled out 50 marks, and they gave us back our passports, and we went on. Anybody ever have that experience? Okay. Like India or Italy, whatever. So they went to the local police station and bribed them. The local police came. There was a huge procession. They somehow or other got some local support from some very low-class people. And whatever. The next day, they actually carried the dead body in a procession in front of our temple. They were throwing sticks and stones and missiles and everything. And it was quite frightening, actually. But they had a parade, an identification parade. The police came, and they brought the wife of the deceased, and you know, they lined up a bunch of devotees, and she said, this one, this one, this one. She picked out all the foreigners. I had taken rest by that time. I was in the back. I was asleep. But no, he's guilty. You know, he did it. And we, 10 of us were taken off to jail. I don't know if any of you have ever been in an Indian jail. It's bad news. There was no fan. It was the middle of summer. It was very hot. The cell was about, our cell was about from that wall to here, and from this photo to that wall, like that. There were 10 of us in that one cell. There were no benches or anything. We just slept on the floor, the cold cement. And like that, there were 3 other cells packed. And at the end, there was a bathroom of sorts, all overflowing and, you know, wasn't so healthy. And so there we were in this cell, accused of murder. We didn't know what the heck was happening. And we didn't know what to do. We had, they'd taken away our japa beads. They'd taken away everything. And some of the devotees were quite worried. I was a manager at that time, totally overworked and underpaid. So for me, this was like a vacation. I was quite happy, but I just, you know, lied around all day and chanted all the extra rounds that I didn't chant while managing. But so what we did was we got our dhotis and ripped off a piece of the dhoti and tied it in knots and made our own beads. And then we made an imaginary altar because we didn't have any. We wanted to. We made our mind up that we were not going to allow our situation to prevent us from serving Krishna. So we made an imaginary altar with imaginary deities. And we had 6 offerings a day. And everybody had to cook something. So we would all sit in meditation. And what was really neat was you could make whatever you wanted, because you could go anywhere in the universe and get, you know, you could go to the heavenly planets and get a parijata flower. You could go to New Vrindavan and get cow's milk for your sweet rice. And so everybody would, in their minds, for about 15, 20 minutes, they would make some wonderful preparation for Krishna, and then we would offer it to him, and then we would all describe what we had cooked and how it tasted. And then every evening we would have aarti. We didn't have any aarti paraphernalia, but, you know, we'd offer imaginary incense. And, you know, all the other prisoners, being Indian, they all came for aarti. It was wild, man. It was really wild. We'd pass around the imaginary ghee lamp, and they'd all go, you know. So about 2 or 3 days after we were in jail there, it just so happened that it was Rathi Yatra Day. And, you know, we couldn't attend Rathi Yatra. So we felt very bad about that. And we decided that we were going to have Rathi Yatra. So there just happened to be an old chair in the cell. And we tied our dhotis to it. And we pulled the chair around the different cells. And we had a big parade. And everybody joined us. And then by that time, they were able to get some prasadam into us from the temple. The first couple of days, we were just, you know, fasting. And we couldn't eat the slop that they were serving us because there were worms and everything in it. And I needed to lose a little weight, as usual, so it was cool, you know. So we had Rathi Yatra, and it was great. And we found that you can chant the Lord's holy name in any condition if you really want to. The laws of action and reaction, inaction and the concept of action and inaction is difficult to understand. But the devotees who are sitting and chanting japa, they're actually very active. And the materialists who are running everywhere, here and there, doing their sinful business, they're actually inactive in the true sense. They're the real parasites. Because everything is given by Krishna, and they're stealing Krishna's property. Prabhupada said, the materialists, he said, the animals run here and there on four legs, and the materialists run here and there on four wheels. The business is the same, sense gratification. So, it is important for us to know this science. Krishna says, therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. There is an art to keeping yourself free from karma. There is a method of how to be in the world, but not of the world, as Jesus says in the Bible. The Bhagavad Gita says, Padma Patram Ivambasa, like the lotus flower, which is in the water, but not touched by the water. There's an art how to do that, how to act, fulfill your desires, but remain in Krishna consciousness. And that's all you have to do is learn that. You can go on with your activities. It's not about stopping the main activities of human life. It's about changing your consciousness and learning how to put Krishna in the center. And mystical. Somebody's trying to contact us from outer space. We said something significant. And I'm a ham radio operator, you know. Sometimes you send messages out into the airwaves. It's really far out and comes back sometimes. Sometimes we send the Maha Mantra out there in Morse, you know, did it, Hare Krishna, you know. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's description of what we have to do with our material attachment. We have to cut the knot of material affection. And there's a whole sequence of verses. Krishna says, this is one of my favorite, but you really have to get Bhakti Charu Maharaj to chant it for you to enjoy it, or any Bengali for that matter. Shushusho Shagadanasha Vasudeva Sadaruchi. The Bengalis have a special way of saying shh. Anyway. Shushusho Shagadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sam Mahatsevaya Tirtha Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishavana. That by constant hearing of the glories and activities of the Lord, one is able to create any place as a tirtha, a holy place. The holy name and Krishna, binatvam nama namino, there's no difference between Krishna and his name. So by chanting Krishna's name in any place, the whole place becomes sublime and transcendental. So even in our place of work, if we somehow or other keep the holy name broadcast, or we hear the holy name, you know, if you can't, you know, have it blaring over the loudspeakers of your factory, then, you know, wear a Walkman or, you know, somehow or other hear the holy name, keep yourself reminded. Then the next verse is Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Trityantak Stohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. It purifies the heart. Krishna Kata. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna. Talking about Krishna. Anything about Krishna. There's so much nice thing. You know, it's not that difficult. We don't do it because we're not trained to do it. We'd rather speak village talk, gramya katha. Gramya katha na shunibe. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, don't allow your tongue. The tongue is the most uncontrollable and voracious of all the senses. And the tongue leads us very quickly into the bodily concept of life. Because we create sound vibration with the tongue, which is prajalpa, asad. We hear it. What we hear affects our seeing and our thinking, and our whole consciousness is polluted. So somehow or other, we have to adjust our lives to talk about the Lord, to praise the Lord, to talk about his pastimes, to talk about his devotees, to talk about our service, to talk about Krishna Prasadam, anything connected with Krishna, somehow or other, our whole day should be just Krishna, 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 hey. And then from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we know Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, all things that are abhadra, inauspicious. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by serving the Bhagavatam, distributing the Bhagavatam, serving, hearing about the Bhagavatam. Well, Bhagavatam means Bhagavat Katha, Bhagavan, Bhagavat, Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, anything in relation. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloki Bhaktir Bhavati. Naishti, the result is that this prarabdha karma, which is causing us distress, and aprarabdha karma, which is like papa beech, sinful desire seeds, waiting to fructify, that is called aprarabdha karma. We don't know what is going to happen to us at any moment, but our life is perpetuated by a stockpile of sinful activities that we've committed in the past, and we're waiting to receive the result. Both good and bad, but good and bad means you have to be here in the material world to receive the reaction. Even to get good reactions, you have to come to the world of death. That's the irony of the whole thing. Even you're a good little boy, but you still have to come back to the material world and die. And maybe you do it with a lot of, you know, ice cream, but you still have to die. So you can't paint that picture nicely, no matter what you do. And then Krishna describes Tadara Jastamo Bhava Kamalodayastri Cheta Etaira Navidam Stitam Sate Prasidati, that by hearing Krishna Katha and talking Krishna Katha, Kamanam Manasa Gira, in this lifetime, the modes of passion and ignorance are eradicated, they're checked, they're blocked, you're insulated from their influence. And in such a situation, you become very happy. You feel pure, you feel clean. You know, you go out and you work on the car and you work in the yard and you work in, you get all sweaty and greasy and dirty and, you know, you feel dirty and you go and have a hot shower and soap and you know, cold shower afterwards, you know, to close the pores actually so you don't get sick. And you come out of that shower and you just feel totally different. You feel clean. It feels good to be clean. Some people don't know the advantage of bath, you know? Like Arabs, you know? They have bath at least once a month, even if they don't need it. You know, it's like amazing. But by this process of hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, the modes of material nature, especially passion and ignorance, and one becomes situated in the mode of goodness, stitam satve, sattva, sattva guna, prasidati, and he, in that condition, he becomes joyful. Evam prasanna manaso, he becomes prasanna, very joyful. Brahma Bhuta, the transcendental platform is called the Brahma spiritual Bhuta platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma. This Atma becomes Prasanna. Na sochati na kankshati. There's no more hankering, no more itching, desiring so many things I know that are useless, but I gotta have them because I can't be a real man unless I drive a BMW and smoke Marlboro cigarettes and wear a cowboy hat. Right? Can't be a real man. You're just a wimp. You know, television tells us, unless you smoke Marlboro cigarettes and ride a Marlboro horse in Marlboro country, you know, and give Marlboro $3 a package or whatever it is, I don't know. You become actually no more hankering and no more lamentation. Arjuna, Krishna tells Arjuna, you're lamenting over foolish things. Don't lament. But by hearing about the activities of Krishna, Krishna's holy name, by surrounding your life by devotees, having devotional friends, you can have everything you like. You have your family, your business, and, you know, even birthday parties if you want to, and you know, it's not so important, but, you know, you can actually deeply become satisfied and no more anxiety. Samasarveshu bhuteshu matvik bhaktim lavate param. My devotees achieve the highest spiritual abode. And then, here is the thing. This is the crux of the whole matter. Hearing Krishna Katha, all very nice, you know, everything. But eventually, you have to make a decision. Vidyate hridaya grantis chityante sarva sankshaya. You have to cut that knot. Pull the anchor up. Put it in the boat. You have to let go of Maya and go back to Krishna. This is the process. It will help you. This is yoga, bhakti yoga. It's the art of all work. And It's very practical. It's Kali Yuga. It's designed, custom designed for this age, for you, in your house. But you have to take it, right? Oh, Lord, give me your mercy. Krishna's giving you his mercy. Take it, stupid. There's a man drowning in a well. You've heard this before, right? Man drowning in the well, you know, flapping, help, help, you know, he's drowning, he's going to drown. And, you know, another 2 or 3 minutes is going to be blow, 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 and he's drowned. It's good luck. You happen along. It's the middle of the forest, deep, dark well, and no reason why you should be there. But being a Hare Krishna, you like to go into the forest to chant your rounds where no one can see you so they won't know that you're Hare Krishna, right? Because you're so ashamed. You don't want to get caught dead looking like one of those weirdos in bed sheets with bird goo all over their forehead, you know. So there you are in the middle of the forest chanting your japa, and you come up to a well and you hear this guy, help, help! So you look in, help, give me your mercy, throw me a rope. So you just happen to have a mercy, make my hands go around the rope. Then you pull the rope up. A lost cause. You have to put your own hands around the rope. Krishna will pull you up. He's there for you. Each and every one of you, he's in your heart. He knows you. He's there. The sun comes up. The moon comes up. There's air to breathe. The ants get food. Krishna's there. He's the supreme controller. Not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. But he needs to see your interest. Even a baby has to cry for his mother's breast. His mother wants to feed. But the baby's got to cry. Mom, feed me. You know? Got to cry. You've got to pray to Krishna and take that rope. Practice bhakti yoga. It's not so hard. You can do it. You can be perfect in this life. It's a wonderful susukam kartum avyayam. It's joyfully performed. I was with this group last night in Chakovitz. I told them, they just sat there, they were just looking at me. I said, I can stay till 12 o'clock if you like. They just sat there. I thought I was joking, you know. They were ready to stay till 12 o'clock. Finally, I say, that's the end. So, thank you very much. And tomorrow night we'll show you some nice video of what we're doing in India, because I found an NTSC player. It was sitting all the time right here in the temple. We could have shown it in Pula, but I don't know, Krishna didn't want it. But I'll show you some nice...